Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 10 minutes past one. And as I just said, we've hit the top for the day, 13 degrees. So hopefully we might get a bit hotter, or it'll, from now on it'll go downhill. Anyway, we've now got with us Cindy McLeish. Cindy is our local Member of Parliament, but she's also got many jobs. She's a Deputy Leader of the Liberal Party in the state government. She's also a spokesman for a number of portfolios. So welcome, Cindy.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Great to see you again.
Likewise. The month goes very quickly at the moment, doesn't it?
It certainly does, doesn't it? Now, Cindy, I guess we'd be a bit remiss if we didn't start off by talking about the search for this missing boy.
Yeah, look, that's right. And it's been very, it's been front and mind for so many people down here since last night when the alert first went out. But it was an unusual alert because it was kind of saying to everybody, look, you know, there's a missing boy, be concerned, but really because of COVID we don't want you to come out.
Which makes it hard, doesn't it? And I know a lot of people want to go out and have a look.
Oh, absolutely. Loads of people will want to go out. Family and friends, certainly. There'll be a lot of those. You know, it's like it's a launching place family. Mm. You know, the kids have gone to school locally. And, you know, people locally, they've got that sense of duty, sense of community, but they also know the area well.
Yep. And I guess the other thing too, Cindy, is that even if they can't search, they really need to go out and check their garage and outlying sheds and everything around their house, don't they?
That's right. And the police have certainly said that this morning. I heard the police media mention how important that is, because when it gets cold overnight, that younger people, kids, will usually, if they're lost, they will usually try and seek out shelter. So somebody might have, you know, a shed, a haystack or something like that that's a little bit protected, a little bit warmer where they might have gone.
Yep. So I guess that's our first thing is, well, if you can't go searching, at least get outside and have a look around your house, or some of these houses, you can get underneath them too, can't you?
Well, that's right. But, you know, we've got to remember too that we don't live in small town town blocks. You know, we have some larger blocks, you know, third of an acre, half an acre, 20 acres, 150 acres. And, you know, so some people have got some large properties that they may or may not easily be able to have a look at. And I know that, you know, we've got quite a lot of wilderness here too.
Mm. I guess the other thing too, that the boy's got mild autism, hasn't he?
Correct.
So they don't actually, if you call their name, they don't actually necessarily come running to you, do they?
No, look, you know, the reports have been that he has high functioning autism, which on one hand people might think, well, that's, you know, not as a bad thing to have it at that level. But, you know, being out overnight, being missing for over 24 hours now, that's going to add a new dimension, because you've got that stress factor, you know, and the anxiety factor on top of all of that. So that can certainly exacerbate some of the behaviours and symptoms that that he may have too. So, and the other thing I guess that we really need to think about is, you know, a little bit of dew on the ground, things can get a little bit slippery. We've had a little bit of rain here and there, so it may have been quite easy to slip down an embankment or something like that as well.
And the last, probably an hour and a half ago, it really poured here for about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. So that'll make the hampering of the, you know, the search, certainly that'll impact on that a little bit. But, you know, we need to have a look at, in addition to any locals that might be out exercising, and they've, you know, I don't think this is common sense. Look, if you're out there exercising in your 2 hours, I think some people would be happy to look for a little bit more. I mean, this is, you know, we're talking about serious situation here.
Mm. That we really... And you are talking like life and death, aren't you? It can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. You could be.
Yeah.
You could be. And, you know, there's so many nooks and crannies. We've got hills and mountains and rivers, you know, slippery tracks and, you know, and made tracks as well. But we have, when people swing into action for search and rescue, You know, like they really do swing into action. And we've got, I think it's called the Bush Search and Rescue, who are activated. And they have a very disciplined and planned approach to how they conduct their searches, you know, and they'll have people will go out and within a like a little team of two or three, I can't remember exactly, but someone will have, in that group, someone will have food and someone might have a hot drink. And somebody else might have the blanket. So, you know, you stay in that little group of two or three. You're not carrying everything, but you've got enough between the three of you for the immediate, you know, for immediately if that's what's required. So, that you know, they've got very good systems. Of course, the local SES and CFA, you know, they're quite good at these sorts of things as well because, sadly, you know, it's not all... it's not unfamiliar in this area.
And, of course, the other thing is, too, you can't beat local knowledge, can you?
Oh, you can't beat local knowledge. Yeah. And, you know, we had a man missing in Warburton, East Warburton, in the middle of May. You might remember there was a gentleman from Glen Waverley and, you know, his shoes were found and a shirt or something unusual like that. And they eventually did find him. And I had a friend whose property that was very close to, but, you know, there were oodles and oodles of family members that came out at that time. Now, this was also in the time of COVID, and we didn't have the curfew in place, but, you know, we had lots of people travelled beyond 5 kilometres to come to search and look for this child. And I would like to see that, you know, common sense does prevail because... You know, I think now the longer the time goes, you know, the more important it is that we've got more people.
And I have heard, I've heard on news that some people said, well, they don't care about the fine.
Yeah, I've heard that too. And, you know, it'd be a brave policeman to try and find somebody something like that or an officer to do that because, you know, people have got the best intent here. And they do know, you know, if you live near the O'Shaughnessy Trail, you probably use that a lot. You might know where paths deviate and where, what's a safe path and what might not be a safe path.
And it's one of those things that, as we just said, you can't beat local knowledge because people do use those tracks and not just once or twice. I mean, some of them use it daily, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And certainly at the moment where, you know, there's more people at home working from home or people... You know, in the situation that may have not got a job or lost their job on JobKeeper at the moment, you know, people are home and have that little bit more time. So this is a time where you can actually get a lot of resources onto the ground. And I think that you know we shouldn't be wishy washy and you know dilly dallying around with this. We need resources on the ground, as many as possible, to help find William.
Absolutely.
Cindy, he's only a child, you know, 14.
Ah, and it'd be terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry. Cindy, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
Sure.
Fumbling your fingers and biting like in the movies, where are my butterflies and all my happy endings? I guess I'll just live my life one page at a time. Returning all our feelings and kissing in the rain. Gotta get on my head. Have to push that thought away. I don't know how it ends. Just be patient and you'll see. 'Cause life can always be like a movie.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 25 minutes past 1, 12 degrees. And we have with Alec Limpey with us, Cindy McLeish. And Cindy, you'd like to tell us a bit about the Badgerweir Picnic Ground.
The Badgerweir Picnic Ground, Alan, is a real favourite. Near the sanctuary, not too far from the sanctuary, just out of Healesville, a few kilometres up the road. And, you know, it's a beautiful picnic ground, and it's really popular, and people have been going there for decades. And a few years ago, it got beaten up badly with storms, and it took the government a couple of years to actually fix it. And eventually, you know, they did that, and it was quite a good job. But so somebody raised with me recently about the state of the driveway. And as you drive in to where the car park is, you know, it's a really long, long driveway. Yep. And you know, someone said to me, look, the potholes are really quite bad. And as I was driving in, I thought, oh, it's not so bad. A little bit of problem here, a little bit of problem there. And then all of a sudden, the potholes were knee-deep and the road was falling to bits at the side. And, you know, you've got to look at a time again, as, you know, we were just talking, that this is a place where people are going at the minute to exercise.
Yep.
And when you get a lot of, you know, traffic, more than just during the regular 9 to 5, where often it'll just be a few close families who, you know, have that flexibility in their schedule to go there in the middle of the day. But now, you know, when I drove out there, I was shocked, not shocked, pleasantly surprised how many cars there were and how many people that they were using it as their exercise.
Yep.
But you could just about lose a, you know, the bumper bar in some of those potholes or a wheel.
That's no good.
No, it's not any good at all. It surprised me. I put a few photos up on Facebook, but I raised it in Parliament with the minister and called for some, you know, urgent action, that this really does need to be fixed. You know, you can't leave it. And I imagine once the weather warms up a little bit, the picnic ground will be a lot busier. There'll be a lot more people out, and you know, the cars can do some serious damage. And I think, you know, you can, if you do some serious damage to your car and something that the government's failed to maintain, I think you can actually make a claim. I don't know how big, but, you know, you might be able to do something about that.
So you're fairly hopeful that it's going to have some work done on it fairly soon?
Well, I am hopeful, actually, because the minister came back and said, oh, October. You know, we're actually not too far away from October, so let's hope that that some attention gets given. I can't believe that it got to the state that it has, because it's really, you know, big, deep potholes. And in some areas, you know, where tree roots actually go under the road and, you know, it's not a full-on highway road,
yep.
but it's, and the tar and the bitumen melts a little bit around tree roots, so you've got a little bit of that to contend with as well.
And that makes it a terrible ride too, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Look, and it's a really beautiful spot. There's some, you know, they can do a little bit more work tidying it up as well because, you know, we get lots of people coming in or ringing us and letting us know when picnic grounds or the Maroondah Dam, for example, is not up to what people expect.
And they're public assets, aren't they? And they need to be looked after.
Absolutely. They're absolutely public assets. And depending on the assets, you know, sometimes it's a council park, sometimes it's DELP, sometimes it's Parks Victoria. You know, people can be a little unsure who they need to speak to get it fixed. You know, we had very recently across the road from my office in Yarra Glen at Mackenzie Reserve, the park there is just, it's a fabulous, fabulous park. It's got something for every age group and was done up after Black Saturday. And they've got the most beautiful bushfire memorial there, done by a local artist, Ernst Fries, who died only a few months ago. And he, it was a bit sad actually because it was only in the time of 10 people at a funeral type thing. And, well, we're still not much better than that. And it's a big memorial with glass, colours of glass of the fires and of the regeneration of the recovery. You know, you've got the yellows and going to the greens, and it's really fabulous. A huge monument. And it was graffitied one morning, you know, just there was quite a bit of graffiti around the town of Yarra Glen that morning. And I was horrified to think that that was there. And the cameras, the news crews actually came out from Melbourne to film it. And somebody had told Reggie Clark, who's got the Linden Gallery in Healesville or in Yarra Glen, to her dad, and someone had told her. So she'd gone down there to check it out as the cameras were there. So, you know, like she could say, look, you know, my dad would be absolutely mortified to see this graffiti in this way. You know, like we've got some wonderful public assets and they do need to be looked after. They need to be maintained and we need to, you know, really speak out against things like graffiti and rubbish and stuff like that that really are a blight.
It's not art, is it? It's definitely not art.
No, no. Look, you see some along the train lines and you see, I think, oh, I could never do that. That is fancier. But, you know, a lot of it just the black writing and tags and stuff like that. It just, there's no place for it.
No. What else would you like to talk about, Cindy?
Well, look, I also not so long ago was down at River Road in Millgrove and people are a little bit worried about that as some of the condition of that, which is a council road. But the River Road, you know, we've talked before about the walking track that the Millgrove Residents Action Group are trying to get that go pretty well around and both sides of the river so you can walk along the river, up over the bridge and back on the other side to have a really lovely walking track. And that's sort of been held up a little bit at the minute. So I'm not quite, well, I think everyone's passing the buck to somebody else about why that's held up. But, you know, we've got some great assets at the moment where people can really go out and, you know, get their exercise in such wonderful surroundings, enjoying the healthy air.
And particularly while you're stuck within the 5Ks, I mean, it's a great opportunity to if you live within the 5Ks, to go and explore some of those if you've never done them before too, isn't it?
That's right. And, look, if you live 4K away from, say, the car park at the O'Shaughnessy Aqueduct, you can actually drive, you know, to that 4K, to that spot.
Yep.
And so you don't have to just leave from your home. You can actually drive your car now. And that was something that they backflipped on early because originally it was like, no, you can't. You know, you just can only come and go from your home. But now it allows people that greater opportunity and flexibility because we've got some fabulous areas down here that we really could.
And people get very sick of going around the same block at home, don't you?
It's like I've done all of Millgrove or all of Yarra Glen. And look, the council have done some great things in Yarra Glen too. You know, there's a boardwalk along the river and there's a Billabong walk and things like that that, you know, when it's a boardwalk, it's a level surface. So it allows people with that are have mobility conditions, that they are limited in their mobility, and it allows people to push a wheelchair and things like that. So, and I think they're great ideas because, you know, we've got to have areas that everybody can utilise, and some people might do the 5K walk, but somebody, you know, if you push a chair 500 metres and then 500 metres back, that's a great outing for somebody who may be, you know, in a disability accommodation or aged care accommodation. It's really, you know, wonderful spots. Around here, look at Warburton. Gosh, it's beautiful. You've got Advent Care just right next to the river there, and, you know, some wonderful little walks and things that you could take family members to.
There's some terrific photos go up on Facebook all around Warburton too, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll just take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 22 minutes to 2 and we're still stuck on 12 degrees. I think we've hit the high for the day, although the sun's starting to come out a bit, but anyway, it could rain. Anyway, we've got with us Cindy McLeish, and she's our local MP and also the Deputy Leader of the Opposition, of course. Cindy, you want to talk about the classification of between country and Melbourne, I guess. And one of the things, could I just ask you, as we're going through, what's the definition? Is there a definition as to how you define, say, Melbourne or as against country? Is there any formal, I don't know.
The way that these things have typically been done, is by local government area. And so one of the things that it's a bit of a bugbear of mine, because the Yarra Ranges and parts of Nillumbik have clearly country areas. And we've had in the past, you know, grants for regional towns and things like that. And people in Powelltown used to say to me, how come I can't, you know, we can't apply for this? Because, you know, Powelltown's very country, very in the middle of the bush. You know, we think that we're country, but because the Yarra Ranges Council, they fit within them, and they've got, you know, Lilydale and Chirnside Park and Mural Bark, parts of, you know, that this is very much metropolitan. So the council spans both. And I think that there's been times when with regional grants, they've some of those towns have missed out unfairly. But then the opposite argument with grants is that their councils are wealthier than the country councils. So if you look at Murrindindi and Mansfield, you know, they've got their rate base is a fraction of what it is to the Yarra Ranges or Nillumbik or anybody in Melbourne as well. So they don't have the resources to support so many small community projects, where you could argue that the Yarra Ranges has some greater means of support. So they've typically split them, you know, the country metro along those divides of government area, local government areas, but they've also used postcodes. So when, you know, the government very early on shut down a certain number of postcodes, and so people in the Yarra Ranges and Nillumbik, you know, St Andrews, Yarra Junction, even Healesville, Warburton, East Warby, are all saying, hang on a minute, we're more country than city. Why, for the purposes of COVID, are we not being treated as regional? We are very regional. We don't have the cases that, you know, they have had a few cases, but solve some areas in the country. We don't have a million cases. Our activities are agriculture, horticulture. You know, we have vineyards everywhere. We have orchards. We have farms. Some of these places, 60, 80 Ks out of the city, you know, like, they're like, why are we in that? And so I thought that they had a very good point. And in fact, last week in Parliament, I asked a question to the Premier, not during question time, there's a little bit after question time where you put your questions through for a proper response. And so I asked a question of this Premier and said, look, here's all of the concerns of these people. Will you support their removal from the metropolitan area as for the purposes of COVID restrictions? He doesn't, with that sort of questioning, they don't respond on the spot. So, you know, probably, you know, depending when I get it, could be a month's time. But, you know, I felt strongly enough. And I know that the member for Evelyn, Bridget Vallance, she also, you know, agrees and has called for the Yarra Valley and the Upper Yarra to be part of regional Victoria for COVID purposes. So we've raised it. It's out there. We'll see how it goes.
Fair enough. Vic Health you wanted to speak about too, Cindy.
Oh, I did. Look, Vic Health always have different lots of grants out, and they've got some fairly substantial grants at the moment. So they've got $2.5 million there that's up for grabs. And it's very, very broad, the topics. And you can apply for $3,000, $10,000 or $50,000. So that's a fair whack. And it's as I said, it's broad. So it's about increasing access to healthy and affordable food. So you might have a whole bunch of different organisations like Second Bite or Link or Icky that help distribute food that accessible, you know, for healthy food. You may have those organisations. Ways to get people more physically active. You know, there might be opportunities for some of our sporting clubs and places like that to apply for funds. Meaningful social connections for those experiencing loneliness and isolation. Again, we've got a lot of community support organisations. It could be equipment, other items, sporting gear, volunteer, participant expenses, trying to reduce the barriers. So there's loads and loads and loads of different ways that you can access this money. It's much more broad than normal. So I think that it's something that a lot of clubs really should be having a look at. We've started to get it out there, and we will further.
Should get out and give it a try. Cindy, we are being very responsible here at Yarra Valley FM, and I've got to finish in about another 5 or 6 minutes because Greg's taking over at 2 o'clock. He'll be talking about the Eastern Palliative Care Volunteers, which is a great group of people. And what we do is he comes in to make sure I don't leave any germs behind, and he has to clean the studio. So I've got to leave in about another 5 or 6 minutes. But you want to tell us about this Facebook and the pets. Sounds terrific.
Oh, look, I do. It was just something that, you know, kids and families have done things really tough at the moment, you know, with going through the homeschooling. It's not over for a whole bunch of kids yet. You know, we're in the holidays. But, you know, in Victoria, we've had the best part of 6 months has been home learning for kids, which is different from homeschooling because kids do, you know, have full-time homeschooling. But we've got the kids that are not used to it being at home all the time, and some of them have had to be quite creative. You know, their families and the teachers have been quite creative, and I've seen lots of evidence of them having their kids in front of the cameras and the computers and things like having their pets, sorry. And so we were going to run a Facebook thing over the school holidays to ask kids and families to send us in your photos of the kids who've enlisted the help of, whether it was their cockatoo on their shoulder or their puppy at their keyboard or something like that, because, you know, even though kids have been, they're on school holidays, they're not doing a lot different than they haven't been doing for the last, you know, couple of months. And I think a lot of the schools, the expectations of kids were really only to do a couple of hours a day for the littler kids. And I know a friend of mine said her son said, "Mum, I'm all done for the day," and it was 11 o'clock. What am I going to do for the rest of the day? But this is a reality that's out there because, you know, if they do a good couple of hours, you can't keep them going till 3 o'clock. So we wanted to see how that their pets have helped them through the school holidays and or through the home learning process.
Sounds like a terrific idea.
Well, look, we got the idea because last, at the end of term two, we asked parents and families to nominate teachers that had done an amazing job helping out, doing the remote learning. And we got all of these nominations, and we've chosen Emily Taylor Ray from Launching Place Primary School. Look, there was all of the schools had nominations. It was really fantastic. But some of the things that the kids and families have said, like they loved the face-to-face meetings, but she told us all the naughty things that her dog got up to. And so we thought, look, not only the teachers had their dogs getting up to mischief, but we also, you know, had the kids, different animals, and they got to meet the dog on WebEx. And, you know, some of the stuff that they said, the kids, you know, like with her prep teachers, how versatile she was, dedicated and passionate and goes beyond expectations. And some families have said, look, she taught a number of our kids and she's been just amazing, and also engages with the family. Now, you know, it was a really hard call because we had so many teachers nominated in the Yarra Valley and the Upper Yarra. It was really, really hard to choose one. But we'll be delivering one of my infamous hampers to her, to the school, and so congratulations to her, but to all of the teachers that have done another term. And if your kid's in years 3 to 10, you could be still doing the homeschooling thing till the end of October, hoping our numbers are good, that they can change that, but, you know, because a lot of families and kids haven't found it easy.
Yeah, it's very hard. Cindy, all right, so the young people or their mums and dads get their photos. How are they going to get them to you?
Have a look at my Facebook page. We're just getting it set up at the moment, but have a look, and we'll try and, you know, send it out quite widely so that we can get some photos.
What is your Facebook? Is it Cindy McLeish or
Cindy McLeish MP?
MP. So if they go up there and upload the photos, and then you'll
We'll have a little. They'll find the right thing there, and it shouldn't be too hard. We're just getting the back end of it organised right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, it'd be interesting to see it when you get it done. Cindy, unfortunately, I've got to go. As I said, Greg's got to come in and clean because he doesn't want to catch anything from anyone else. But, look, it's been fabulous having you along. We'll have you along again, of course, the fourth Wednesday of the month between 1 and 2. So thank you again, Cindy.
Thank you. No problem. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.